Warriors-Clippers Game 4 of this first-round NBA playoff series, a Sunday matinee at Staples Center in L.A. with Klay Thompson in the spotlight. 27 first-half points for Klay en route to 32 points with 6 three-pointers. Kevin Durant powering his way to a game-high 33-point afternoon with a variety of key buckets throughout as Stephen Curry stayed on the attack, adding 12 points and 10 boards to the effort. Andre Iguodala, some timely buckets and 10 points, while Andrew Bogut had 10 rebounds and 8 points, and Draymond Green, 9 boards to go with 10 points, as the Warriors take a 3-1 lead, beating the Clippers 113-105 the final.
I thought the Clippers were fantastic today. Their effort and their energy, they were attacking us all over the floor defensively. I didn't think we fully engaged in the game till they kind of took it to us in that third quarter, took the lead. And once that happened, I thought that's when our guys engaged. We started taking care of the ball and defending at a higher level. But I love their team. They're a young group that fights and scraps and plays together, plays hard. And, you know, I just told our guys in there, that's what we're going to see Wednesday, too. So can't be any let-ups because this group is connected and young and energetic and playing hard and well-coached and so we've got to make sure we continue to lock in.
Coach Kerr right here. TPJF Hoops and Brews. Steph started out 0-6 from the field and 1-5 from three. When he gets a rough start like that, is it more so about trying to get him going early or just letting everybody continue to play within the flow of the offense?
No, you just keep playing and you trust that, you know, he's going to impact the game because he's such a great player, whether his shots are going in or not. And but yeah, tough day for Steph, but this is the way the game goes. You know, guys sometimes have a huge night, sometimes they struggle, but the great players like Steph, Kevin, Klay, they bounce back pretty quickly from tough shooting nights, so that's what I would expect on Wednesday.
How important was that mini stretch at the start of the fourth where you got Durant and Curry on the bench? I think you guys bumped the lead up a little bit. And how important will that pocket of the game be during these playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're mixing and matching a little bit, and we had to change our rotation because of Steph's early foul trouble. But the third quarter, we were able to keep a pretty regular rotation out there. And as I said, I thought the last part of the third and the early fourth were really important moments for us in the game. So, you know, the guys who came in to start that fourth did an excellent job executing. We got some good buckets and some stops and kept the game going for us.
Wes Goldberg with a step back, Coach. Shade Gilgeous-Alexander, he's compared to by some people to Sean Livingston or even Andre Iguodala. What did you see from him tonight, and do you think those comparisons are appropriate?
He's a really good young player. You know, for a rookie to come in and attack with confidence the way he did, that shows you what he's about. So I thought he was great. He really hurt us, especially in that first half. And I thought we did a better job on him in the second half. But he's got a great future.
Coach Ryan Gorsey, San Francisco Examiner. How big was Alphonso McKinney there in that little stretch there in the fourth quarter where he tipped that offensive rebound out to Steph and then got to tip in, I think, off a Klay miss?
Yeah, Zoe has been great, you know, these first four games of the playoffs. You know, he has the athleticism to not only hang in an NBA playoff game, but even to stand out in a playoff game. He gets a lot of offensive rebounds. Good defensively. He's smart. I thought he gave us huge minutes tonight.
Steve, Nick Friedel, ESPN. You're right. You mentioned Steph's foul trouble. Why do you think that's been a problem for him these last couple of games?
He just hasn't been focused. You know, I don't know if you saw his shoes. You see his shoes? One shoe said no, and the other shoe said reach. So he didn't reach as much tonight, so that was good. But you know, Steph sometimes loses focus. I mean, you know, he's such a fascinating player because, you know, the same thing that makes him, you know, not hesitate to shoot a fadeaway 30-footer maybe is the same thing that gets him in foul trouble. You know, he doesn't overthink much, you know, and so he's just gotten into a habit lately of reaching. And instead of, you know, showing his hands and trusting the help behind him, and did a better job in the second half. I don't think he picked up a foul maybe he did late, I don't know, but he'll be fine. I mean, he's just in a little bit of a rut right now with that stuff, but second half was a good spell for him where he was disciplined and stayed in the game.
Kyle Goon, Orange County Register. Steve, obviously, Gallinari has had some tough shooting against you guys. How do you kind of attribute the credit for what you guys have been able to do defensively on him this series?
Well, the playoffs are, you know, they're a different deal for everybody. You know, you're so much more locked in defensively. You can see what the Clippers are trying to take away with our three-point shooting, and that's what we're trying to do to them, too. We're trying to take away, guys coming off screens, and we know what a huge factor and key Gallinari is for them. So we're doing our best to try to pressure him, stay in front of him, and challenge every shot, because when he has big games, the Clippers generally win, and so he's a real key for them.
Hey, Steve, a follow on the note about Alfonso. Going into the playoffs, what were you expecting he could give you, just knowing this is his first go-around, and what have you seen so far?
This is exactly what I expected. You know, the thing I love about Zoe is he's fearless. You know, he's never shied away from a shot. He has scrapped and clawed to get to this point in his career. He's played everywhere, overseas, and G League, and so he's making the most of his moment. And this is not surprising to me from a guy who's had to fight his way into a job. And I thought he really helped us tonight.
Coach. Chris with the Fantasy Sports Cave. Can you talk about what you saw from Clay in the first half and what it means when he has a first half like that, what it does for your offense along with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry?
Well, when Clay gets going like that, it fuels the whole bench. You can see everybody jumping around. Everybody gets happy. We all love when Clay gets hot. It's it fuels our momentum, and it didn't surprise me at all. He kind of had a quiet first few games of the series, so it's only a matter of time till he broke out.
Tim Roy along with Jim Barnett. Jim, those were the numbers on the game. Why do you think the Warriors were able to really take control of those turnovers and give them this opportunity to win tonight's game, to go up 3-1?
Well, yeah, when they turn the ball over like that, they're beating themselves. But, Tim, they have out-rebounded this team in every game, and I think they've won the internal battle inside in the paint. I believe they have more second chance points, as evidenced today, more than twice as many as the Clippers. They're really fighting and they're playing hard. Just like Draymond said, the defense has been doing it for them. Sure, they're going to score, but and they've got three great scorers. And if one goes, this is the first time that Clay has really illuminated in this series, and he was big today. But Stephen Curry was off, but they could still withstand that. And I think the third quarter was pivotal. First of all, the Clippers won the middle quarters. They won second and third quarter. And they took the lead, a 5-point lead, after the Warriors had an 8-point lead at halftime. They took the lead late in that third quarter, but the Warriors came back. And I think that was a pivotal part of the game. The Warriors came back, and they took a 3-point lead to go into the fourth quarter. And I thought that was big, that they did not continue and let all of a sudden the Clippers get up by 6, 7, 8 and everything like that. It'd be a little tough. Instead, they quelled that little drive. And there was an interesting play, and you and I talked about it. And I'm trying to think, was that in the second quarter or the third quarter?
Which play are you talking about here?
When
we help you?
It might have been the, it's in late in the second.
Okay.
It was late in the second. Little things like this. It was a 4-point game. The Clippers got a turnover, and Patrick Beverley came down, and they had a 3-on-1.
3-on-1.
And that's okay. And they've been coming back. They've been down by double digits.
Right. Crowds engaged.
You've got to score on that play.
Right.
You have to score. And you do not want to chance that you might make a three. It's a 1-point difference. You are going to score on that play. You go in, you get your layup, and then it's a 2-point game. Instead, he missed it, and the Warriors come back down and score. They had the 8-point lead at half. Little things like that. And the Warriors made smart plays coming down the stretch. But I thought the biggest thing they did was late in that third quarter to regain the lead after they had lost it. And the Clippers had a 5-point lead. So then they took control. And I think they felt they were the more confident team going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I thought the Warriors just played a game they they had to play today. I thought, you know, they defended well. They knew the Clippers were going to come out and play a better game. They knew they were going to come out and play a spirited contest. And so play with the desperation that you would expect out of a well-coached, good team. This is a good team. They won 48 games, traded their best player at midseason, and didn't miss a beat. So there's a lot of pride in that Clipper locker room, and I thought the Warriors had to match that today. I thought, as you pointed out, they defended well. Williams and Harrell have decent numbers, but they didn't take the game over like they had done previously.
That is another big point. The last two games, they have just been, I would call, subnormal, in fact, and particularly today when Lou Williams shoots the way he does, 2 of 10. They took him out of the game, and Iguodala's a big part of that. Klay Thompson, yes, but Iguodala and Looney, and let's just call it the bench, Tim. The bench was outscored by the Clippers bench, 37-18, mm-hmm. but that doesn't tell the story. I thought Looney was so good, particularly when he came in early in the game and spelled Andrew Bogut when he picked up his third foul, and it seemed like he got every rebound there in a sequence there and kept the Warriors afloat. And Iguodala has made 5 threes in the last 2 games. 3 last time, he made 2 again tonight. Timely. They were both, by the way, they were bigger plus-minus numbers off the bench, Looney and Iguodala, than any starter for the Warriors. That's how effective they were.
Well, you know, Andre's going to give you something whether or not he scores.
Always.
Always, because he's so intelligent. He's they're probably their second. Well, when you have a 5 on the floor, Jim, that has Bogut, Iguodala, and Draymond Green, you have basically defensive savants out there.
Yes.
And they know how to play the game. They know, understand angles. They understand personnel. They know who they're playing against.
Yes.
And so when Andre's scoring and he's a threat from the three-point line and he's making plays and getting to the rim, that's like icing on the cake, especially when you have the scorers the Warriors do.
Yes. And then he's playing a complete game and you can't take him off the floor. You're going to leave him out there. And they did that today. So he plays 27 minutes. And as I say, Looney, this is the first game I guess he hasn't scored maybe in double digits. Maybe there's one other game. I know he was averaging almost 12 points a game.
Right. He had a 19-point game, yes.
So he takes 2 shots today. He makes 1. But his rebounds and his defensive plays, he's really, really valuable. And you're not missing much when he comes in. Yes, you're missing this, the facilitation that Andrew Bogut gives you, particularly out high. He sets dribble handoff screens, moves a little bit. He gets Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry shots tonight. But Curry couldn't get free. He wasn't getting good shots tonight. And so they didn't force the issue. Klay, luckily, he had his big night tonight and 27 points at halftime.
Well, Jim, I think it's going to be interesting. Game 5, you go back to television on game 5, correct?
Back to television, and I do not want to see anybody for a game 6, television or radio.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be nice to have a few days there and just to be selfish, maybe a win for the home team in Utah.
I was going to say, that's pushed the envelope a little bit because that series, you know, 3-0 right now with Houston, and there's no reprieve there. We were all hoping it would go 7 games.
Right.
So if you got past this series, which you expected to.
Rockets are playing well.
Yeah, you'd have a little rest and time to prepare for that. If the Warriors had swept this club here, I remember someone saying this, I can't remember who it was, if they had swept this series and the other one, Utah and Rocket series, had gone 7 games, you would have 9 days off before you played.
Wow.
You could have had 9 days, more than a week. Maybe it's bad in the long run.
Maybe that's too much.
Four or five days
would be nice.
Not for me for riding a bicycle in the nice weather, finally.
There you go.
Game 5 coming up Wednesday night at Oracle Arena. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.